Amen. Let's take our Bibles, turn to Colossians chapter number 1. Colossians chapter number 1. I will say within a matter of 1 hour yesterday, I received a phone call from Belknap County Nursing Home, and they are closed down to all volunteers coming in. Received an email from Merrimack County Jail, and they are closed down to all volunteers coming in. And I received an email from the Department of Corrections down in Rhode Island, and they are closed down to all volunteers coming in. I have not heard yet on the women's prison here in Concord. I got on the website, the New Hampshire Department of Corrections today. There's nothing posted on there, and so I have not heard from them yet. And so the announcement I made about volunteering in the nursing home a week from next Wednesday, I mean this coming Wednesday, you can scratch that. And you don't need to show up. But I figured that was coming. Someone told me last week that they had just seen it on a national level. They were actually having a meeting about prisons, jails, and nursing homes. And so I figured some type of announcement was coming, and then they all got the word, and they sent out emails. Did you get the email, Brother Chamberlain? Did you get a phone call? Okay, I figured you would. I called. Okay, because they called you a little bit later. I was like, I just wanted to make sure word got out, and people still need the gospel. Colossians chapter 1, verse number 1, the Bible says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints. Last week we began in the first verse and a half, and we're going to take up the second half of verse number 2. But just by a matter of review, who wrote the book of Colossians? Paul. Now, if we do not count the book of Hebrews, can someone recall on how many books of the New Testament? Dana? 13. If we include Hebrews, it's 14, which would be over half, okay? Now, the city of Colossae, I won't ask for both cities, but it was part of a tri-cities area in what is known as what country today? Southwest Turkey, okay? And so Colossae's in the southwest part of modern-day Turkey, and there were three cities there. One was Hierapolis, one was Colossae. Can anybody name the third one? Someone said it before I finished. Laodicea, okay? And so it's mentioned, I believe, three times here in the book of Colossians, and it would be the same city that's over in the book of the Revelation, that last church that was written to, the church of Laodicea. In fact, as I was reading through, one of the well-known things about the city of Colossae is that they actually had some very cool and refreshing springs, freshwater springs that were there in Colossae. And so they brought up about, as John had the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ to him, writing to the church of Laodicea, when it brought up about, since thou art neither warm, hot nor cold. And they said they would have understood precisely what the example was being mentioned there as far as with the cool, cold, refreshing springs that were there in Colossae. And so we look at this wonderful group, and I know I made mention of it. We'll get it into the scriptures. But is there evidence that Paul started the church at Colossae? No, there is not. Okay, we made mention, we haven't gotten to the man's name yet, we read down through it a little bit, but who very possibly is the one that went to Colossae and preached the gospel and saw this group of believers established? It would be down in verse number 7 with Epaphras, okay? And very possibly because of chapter 2 and verse number 1, it's very possible that the Apostle Paul never even went to Colossae. because he said, if you knew the burden and the conflict that I had for you and for the others who have not seen my face in the flesh. Okay. And so everything Paul is talking about here, I've heard about this. I've heard about this. Okay. And so does someone want to tell me the order of the books that the Apostle Paul, did you write them down? I saw you nudge Leroy. You got them there? And I won't ask for this. I was going to put Zeke on the spot because Zeke asked me on the way out last week. He's like, is there really going to be a quiz over tonight? And I said, you just better be ready, Zeke. And so I was going to put him on the spot and say, okay, give me the order of all 13 books. Can someone tell me what the first one was, if you remember? 1 Thessalonians. What would be the last one? 2 Timothy, okay? And so we look down through there. There's a whole lot if you just begin taking it word by word, precept by precept. Now, I just want to look at this salutation beginning in verse number 2, okay? The salutation is this: grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, here's the one thing that I did personally, and I would encourage you to do this, but all 13 books, okay, besides the book of Hebrews, they can't put a timeline on Hebrews. It doesn't name Paul as the author. And so even as I said last week, if someone thinks it was someone other than Paul that wrote it, that's perfectly fine, okay? I don't break fellowship on who wrote the book of Hebrews. But I will say the other 13 books, and I went back and turned to every page of them, here's what's interesting. All 13 books that the Apostle Paul wrote that we have record of in the Scriptures here, every one of them, he started out with this very similar salutation to the group of believers. And it all started with the word grace. So as I began looking, and if you go back to Romans 1, as we have them in order in the Scriptures, you can go to Romans 1, 1 Corinthians 1, 2 Corinthians 1, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and look at every one of them. 1 and 2 Timothy, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, 1 and 2 Timothy, Titus, Philemon. Every one of them in the salutation, the Apostle Paul starts off with grace. Now, he usually has, just like he does here, he has grace be unto you and peace. Now, in a couple of the salutations, as the Apostle Paul was beginning, he has grace, mercy, and peace. How he's starting off. Well, as I began looking at that, I've had some people in the past, and usually I've thought, I'll just be honest with you, I've thought they were a little bit maybe too ecumenical for me or something like this, but whenever I'd see them, they would actually greet me by saying, grace be unto you. And they would say that, grace to you. And so then as I'm studying through that, that's the way of the Apostle Paul. So then I thought, why? Why? So I began looking at the subject matter, and listen, this would take the rest of the year if we just began trying to exhaust the subject matter of grace, okay? Some people try to put the acrostic to it. It's a good simple acrostic to be able to remember it. God's riches at Christ's expense, okay? We've heard that for years. That's how I remember some of it. Does anybody have a different acrostic for grace or something to be able to remember it besides God's riches at Christ's expense? And but really, as I began looking at the subject matter of grace, I believe this. I believe that anything that God does on our behalf, and really, if I could summarize it in one statement or two, I would say the greatest expression of love that God can show is grace. Because anything that God does for us comes under the banner of grace. Because grace is, some have said, it's unmerited favor. It's something that we by no means deserve whatsoever. If we are asking for grace from someone, we are asking them to give us something we don't deserve. And so anything God does, you name one thing that we deserve from God. We deserve hell, don't we? Now, can I say that even, and I hate almost even opening this door, but even allowing us to exist for eternity in our relationship and our sin against Almighty God, we don't even deserve that. If we were the Creator, maybe the first time that someone, that our creation rebelled against us, we'd say, that's it. I haven't given you breath for you to turn around and curse to my face. I haven't given you breath to turn around and rebel against me. Anything, absolutely anything that God does for us is only done by grace. That's how we have salvation today. And that grace is only bestowed upon us because He loves us. And can you imagine loving someone so much after everything that mankind and human beings have done to Almighty God? Can you imagine loving someone so much that you look down upon them and say, I'm going to bestow grace. I'm going to give you not just salvation. I'm going to give you breath today. I'm going to make your heart beat a little bit longer. I mean, what David said over in Psalm 3, I slept and I awaked, for thou hast sustained me. It's by the grace of God that we are even here tonight. It's by His grace, and He bestows that grace. So as I began looking, and honestly, the picture of grace began taking on an entire new meaning and picture and concept in my heart and life about the grace of God being bestowed upon us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, and He just said, I'm going to extend grace because I love you. Probably the closest thing we can come to, and it's not even that close. How many ever extended grace to your kids because you love them and you gave them something they didn't deserve? Like life. Past 13 years of age. My dad was told this. He said, and he was told by someone, he said, when your kid turns 13, he said, you put them in a wooden barrel with a knot hole on the side of it, and you keep them there till they're 18, you feed them with a slingshot through the knot hole. He said, and when they turn 18, you plug the knot hole. Pretty much anything that's been done, you can tell He didn't do that to us, okay? We're perfectly fine. Anything that God bestows upon us. So then I started looking at this subject matter of grace and bringing it over to the Apostle Paul's life. And do you realize that the greatest expression of love that we could ever bestow upon someone else is wishing God's grace upon them? Greatest expression of love. And as I read down through, I thought about Paul's life. Now, what did Paul do before he was converted? He persecuted Christians, didn't he? He had letters in his handbag, not his man bag, his handbag. He probably had a servant carrying them. He had letters to be able to go find anybody that was living the way of a Christian and be able to arrest them, bring them back, either throw them in the arena, dip them in oil and burn them, be able to feed them to the beasts, imprison them, kill them, whatever was necessary. That was Paul's life. He was sincere. He actually believed that he was doing God a favor because of their religious rituals that they held to in Judaism. He said, there's this heresy that's going around, and he was commissioned to go and to be able to stamp that out. I wonder how many Christians he had that he was guilty of with their life. If there was ever a man, and I know we put it this way, but he said that, but by the grace of God I am what I am, that probably understood, realized when the Lord saved his soul, if there was ever anybody that did not deserve grace, we would say it's Paul, wouldn't we? But then how many of us have looked in the mirror lately and said, if there is anybody that does not deserve grace, it's the person we all looked at in the mirror today. And for Paul to be able to start his letters to these believers by wishing the grace of God be upon them, I believe, first of all, it was making him realize and understand and remember where God brought him from. And then I believe it helped with his writing. I haven't had too many of a serious come to Jesus talks with people as far as I'm on the receiving end of it. Okay? But I've thought, you know, can you imagine if we had to have a sit down with the Apostle Paul in modern day Christianity? If the Apostle Paul was invited to speak in a lot of churches across our nation today. Can you imagine the message that the Apostle Paul... Now, go back and just read 1 Corinthians. Okay? And you can read, I mean, just giving a little insight. But that was him, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God. And that was him starting out by saying, grace be unto you. And then goes into the letter. And so I believe it probably helped out, number one, with his humility. And it was helping him out and to be able to convey this message that, listen, he rebuked a lot of things as he wrote through the Pauline epistles. He rebuked a lot of things. And I believe he was starting out by reminding these Christians, listen, you're only saved today because of the grace of God bestowed upon you. And so he's saying, grace be unto you. Acknowledge this gift that God has given. Every group of believers that he wrote to started off, grace. Grace be unto you. Understand who you are before the Lord. I'm wishing the grace of God upon you, that the blessings would be bestowed upon you, that you do not, absolutely do not deserve any of them. And Paul is reminding them, grace be unto you. And then he said, in almost every book, he used the word and peace. And I told you in some cases, he used the term grace, mercy, and peace. But here he used grace be unto you and peace. And as I looked at that, I said, you know, that's probably a great reminder for him also. Because what is taking place, he's wishing peace upon the group of believers that he is addressing here in this letter. He's already wished grace upon them. And may I say this, without the grace of God bestowed upon our lives, guess what? There is no peace in our lives. It is constant turmoil and fighting and bickering, and it's only by the grace of God. Let me ask you something. Do we deserve peace today? We don't deserve it, do we? As much sin as believers commit, we don't deserve that, but aren't you glad for the good grace of God that bestows it upon us? And it's only by God's good grace that we have access to peace today. Because we know that the peace is only through the Lord Jesus Christ, isn't it? And we know that we have access to peace through Jesus Christ. We have access through prayer and supplication, according to another letter of the Apostle Paul, just a page back in Philippians chapter number 4, where he says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. We could spend a lot of time looking at where this grace and where this peace comes from. He says, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I want to remind us this evening before we get into prayer. And it was just an interesting thought and interesting pattern. If you go back through the Pauline epistles, start with Romans, it's in the first few verses of every one of them, okay? And just notice how he starts every one of them out by bestowing grace upon that church. And I just wonder if that was our desire. I wonder how our relationship would be with each and every other one inside the body of Christ if we were truly desiring for God's grace to be bestowed upon someone else. It'd be a reminder for us that we are what we are by the grace of God. But then it would be a reminder of what God's desiring to do in their lives. And such a wonderful truth when you look down through there and look at that salutation. You know, how many are like me that sometimes you just start reading a book in the Bible and you read those first two verses and you just kind of get through them quick and then say, well, I want to get down to the meat of what he's writing about. I believe the grace of God meant something to the Apostle Paul. I don't believe he looked in a mirror every day. I picture him being half bald for some reason. I do. You looked up at me, didn't you, Leroy? I actually envision him with about a haircut like yours. Seriously, I do. For some reason, I picture him half bald and with just hair on the side. I don't know. That's just how I picture him. I'll be surprised when I get to heaven and he doesn't look like that. But I've just pictured him as just a man. And if he could sit down, I almost picture every time he wrote this word grace. I just wonder if he stopped and just spent some time in prayer, just thanking the Lord. God, if you hadn't bestowed grace upon my life, where would we be? You think about your life. You say, oh, I'm a young person. If God hadn't put grace in your life, where would you be today? Some of us are a little bit older. If God hadn't bestowed grace upon us, maybe dead on the side of the road somewhere. Just gone. No hope for eternity. And I thought, Lord, maybe we could take a lesson from Paul. And I guess what I learned personally, the number one priority in Paul's life was reminding about the grace of God. And I just wonder if we took that upon ourselves and reminded people about the grace of God. Because when we remind them, it's actually a reminder of who we truly are. And it's not buttering them up. Because listen, a righteous person, someone who's perfect, they don't need grace. But every one of us need grace. And so when we look at this and the reminder that Paul gives in every book that he wrote, starting off with grace, maybe it would benefit us to remind of the grace of God. Because then it reminds and humbles us of who we really are and that there's nothing good inside of us outside of God's grace. Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. By grace you're saved through faith. Go back and look at it. I believe it's some 154 times. And do you know like the third or fourth book that the word grace is mentioned the most in? Can someone want to take a guess? The book, it's like third or fourth. We get over here to Romans and 1 Corinthians, that's in 2 Corinthians, that's listed a lot. Down around the third or fourth. Genesis 11 times. In the book of Genesis. It's not always talking about grace of God, okay? But just the word grace, because they use that term, okay, if I have found grace in your sight, okay, that's undeserving, okay? And just interesting, but read that salutation, and grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, next week, we're going to look at verses 3, 4, and 5, and we're going to look at the prayer of thanksgiving that Paul and Timothy give for the saints there in Colossae. Okay, so verses 3, 4, and 5 next week as we look at that prayer. Okay?